Welcome to the BaseCS podcast, where we explore the basics of computer science concepts. I'm your host, Saran, founder of Code Newbie.
And I'm Vaidehi Joshi, author and developer.
And she is the brilliant mind behind the BaseCS blog series. Today, we're continuing our conversation on
Breadth First Search, or BFS.
This season of BaseCS is brought to you by DevDiscuss. DevDiscuss is a show I work on with the team at Dev, an international supportive community for developers. The show addresses the many burning topics that pop up on Dev every day and is hosted by Jess Lee and Ben Halpert, two of Dev's co-founders. Past episodes have included unpopular opinions with Kelsey Hightower, staff developer advocate at Google Cloud and a legendary voice in tech.
So an unpopular opinion should be like, computers were a mistake. Was was this all worth it?
And how changing your name is a difficult, unsolved, and sometimes personally devastating problem in tech.
I basically walk through this world, through this minefield of not knowing when I'm going to have this like sort of deep emotional wound reopened.
As well as how little known tools can have big productivity gains.
And I think it gives me the sense of structure, which I really enjoy. And also you can color code different things.
Each episode features interesting guests from diverse backgrounds who are active in the software space. This podcast is your place for burning tech questions, answers, and genuine conversations. And we also end each episode with commentary from the everyday developers who call Dev home.
You'd be surprised how many things making music and coding have in common.
True to the Dev community, DevDiscuss wouldn't be possible without the input from all of you. So listen, rate, and subscribe to DevDiscuss wherever you get your podcasts. BFS. I like BFS because it sounds like BFF, you know, like best friends forever, best friend search. Maybe, no.
Oh, that's fine. That's good.
Just kidding.
Your BFS is your BFF.
There you go. There you go. A possible episode title. Okay, so let's do a quick recap of what Breadth First Search is. What is BFS?
So BFS is one of the strategies that you can use to traverse through a data structure, and usually you're going to use it on a tree data structure or graph data structure. I mentioned graphs. We haven't really talked about BFS in the context of graphs, but I do want to note that it is a thing you can do, and we will do it in future seasons. But for the context of today's episode and last week's episode, BFS is a breadth-first search of a tree data structure, which means that rather than searching down a branch of a tree or down all the way to a leaf node of a tree, you traverse through the nodes one level at a time, which is also called in-level order.
And we also compared it to depth-first search by talking about the data structure that it uses to help it do its searching. And we talked about how breadth-first search uses queues.
Yep, you're right. Breadth-first search actually is like doubly cool because not only do you get an algorithm, which is the searching algorithm, but you also get a familiar old friend, the queue data structure. And as we'll remember from previous many previous episodes at this point, the queue data structure follows the first in, first out principle, which is also called FIFO, which basically means that you enqueue items and you dequeue them, but you always enqueue an item, and that is the first thing that's going to go in, and that means it'll be the first thing to come out. It's not kind of haphazard. It follows this rule of the FIFO principle.
And on a high level, if we walk through the steps of the algorithm, we're basically falling into a rhythm of reading data, then adding a child, reading a data, adding a child. So we have a read, add, add process.
Exactly. Yes. We are going to read the data of a node, and then we will add a child. And when we add a child node, the left node if it exists and the right node if it exists, what we're really doing is we are enqueuing those nodes into our queue. And that's how we know what order we want to visit the various nodes in a tree. And that's how we decide, oh, this is the next node to read. This is the next node to read, because you've got a little queue and they're all lined up for you, ready to go.
Okay, so it kind of sounds like there are two different, I don't know, like types of nodes that we're dealing with. We're dealing with the main node, the one that we're actually reading, and then we're adding the kids or the addresses for the kids
later, so we can visit them later on. Is there a name for that distinction?
There is, yes. I'm so glad you asked, because I kind of, you know, skirted around this terminology in last week's episode, but it's important for us to talk about it now because I think it helps kind of distill how this algorithm works. Because when you're looking at a node, for example, the root node, you can kind of imagine you're like holding that node in your hands and that's the node you're like going to read. But then you're also kind of making note that other nodes exist. You're not looking at them. You're not reading them. You're just like kind of stumbling upon them. And you're like, oh, yes, I am noting that you are there. I will come back to you later, you little child node. and the term that we use for the nodes that we kind of encounter as we read a node is called a discovered node. Mm. And a discovered node is going to be the children nodes that we add to our queue and whose location we know, but we haven't actually visited them. We haven't actually read their values yet. We haven't, you know, taken them off the queue. We know they exist. We know where they are. We're going to add them to our queue. And those are our discovered nodes. They're the nodes we know are going to come up soon.
Mm-hmm.
A good thing to note is that the very first discovered node is the root node, because that's the first one that we're like, oh, this is the first address for. And then we're like, all right, what's the node in our queue? And in the beginning, the only thing in the queue is the root node. And that is the only discovered node. And so that's when you kind of pick up the root node and you're like, all right, we've enqueued at least one node. We're going to pick it up. We're going to look at its data. And then we're going to start, you know, looking at who its children are, enqueuing them, discovering the children, and then come back to them later. And basically, you run the BFS algorithm until you have discovered all the nodes there are to be discovered and you've gone through all the discovered nodes in the queue.
Okay, so once I have the address, basically once I know that the node exists and I know where to find it, then it is a discovered node.
Exactly, yeah. You know it exists. You know how to go find it later. You've added it to the queue. Okay. You haven't read its data. You don't know what that node contains. You just know that it's a thing.
Okay, cool. Okay, so let's walk through an actual example. We're going to set up a tree that we actually have used already. We used it to walk through our depth first search example. It starts all the way at the top with our root node being the number 6. Then on the left child, we have the number 4. On the right child, we have our number 8. Then for number 4, we have a left child of 2, a right child of 5. And then going back up to our number 8, we have a left child of 7 and a right child of 9. And then if we go all the way back to the left, we have where we had our last child 2. That has a child 1 on the left, and then on the right, a number 3. So it's okay if you don't remember all of those. We're going to start at the top. We're going to work our way. You know, I was going to say we're going to work our way down, but we're actually working our way kind of down, mostly across, because we're doing breath. Neat. Okay,
we're gonna do a little level order traversal. Say that 3 times fast.
Okay, cool. So we start with 6, and because our first step is reading, we're gonna read our one and only node, also our one and only discovered node so far.
And because we've discovered it, that means we've added it to our queue. So when you say we start with, first thing we'll do is we'll say, oh, there's a node. We're going to enqueue it. So right now in our queue, we have just one node, which is our root node.
Okay. So we've enqueued it. Now we have read it and we see that it is a 6. And because we are doing a search, we've decided we are not looking for a 6. It is not the thing we're trying to find. So we need to keep on searching. So at this point, I'm going to look to the left and say, hey, 6, do you have a left child? It does. And now I'm going to ask it, where does that left child live? And I'm going to add that reference to that node to my queue.
Mm-hmm. And you don't know what's in that node. You
I don't know what's in that node. Yes,
in
yes.
In your queue.
Mm-hmm. So in my queue, I have 6, which I just read, and I have a reference to my left child, which is 4, but I don't know that it's 4 yet.
Right. Okay. Oh, well, left.
What did I say?
That's correct. That's correct. I said right, and I meant you are right, not oh, yeah. right. No.
It's confusing. Oh, words. Okay.
You are okay. correct. Your left child of the root node is in that queue. It's ready to go. You don't know what it is, but it's there.
But it's there. Okay. So now I'm going to see if I have a right child. Oh, looks like I do. And I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to add it and add a reference to it in my queue. Mm-hmm. So now my queue has the number 6, and then it has left child, which is 4, and right child, which is 8.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So now that I'm done reading all the children for my root node, my 6, I can dequeue it. Is that right?
Yep. Just pop it on off.
Pop it on off. Done. Nailed it.
But we're not done with our algorithm because we're going to keep going till we've got nothing left. And right now we have two. We still have 2 nodes left in our queue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. So now that 6 is gone, I'm going to look at the next thing in line, which is my left child node. And now I can actually read it. And I'm going to say, okay, what are you? It's going to say, hello, I am 4. And before I get rid of it, because I'm like, I'm not looking for 4. Okay, I'm looking for something else. I want to add its children to my queue so that if the next thing in the queue isn't the thing I'm looking for, I can still go ahead and have access to, this sounds so bad. I say have access to its children, but that's not, you know, I can still give the kids presents. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm Santa Saran. There you go. Okay, so I'm gonna
your
say
BFF.
Your BFF.
Who runs BFS? See, oh, I'm so good at it's this. Catching on
we're
now.
So
it's
good. Good. We should have a podcast. Okay, so my 4. I'm gonna say okay. What are the addresses to? Well, first of all, do you have children? Right, because mm-hmm. if they don't have any kids, then it doesn't really matter. I'm going to say, okay, left child node. Oh, yes, there it is. And I'm going to add the reference to that to my queue. And then I'm going to say, what about the right child? Oh, yep, have that as well. Okay, now I'm going to add a reference to that to my queue. Mm-hmm. So at this point, if we look at my queue, I still have the 4 because I haven't kicked it off yet. I have my reference to the node, which is going to be 8.
Mm-hmm.
And then now I have 2 more references. I have the left child of 4, which is 2. And then I have the right child of 4, which is 5. So I have 4 things in my queue.
And you've got one level, kind of. You've got the second level, right? Where you had 4 and 8, which are, you know, the direct descendants of the root node. Right now they're both in the queue. And you've got the beginning of the next generation, the next level. You've got 2 and 5 also mm-hmm. in the queue. And they are in queued in the correct order right now. You've got 4 and 8 and then 2 and 5. And if you were kind of visually reading across the tree, you would be kind of scanning across one level.
Yeah.
And you've got one level and you've got the beginning of the next level. So mm-hmm. you might even be able to guess the way that this algorithm is working, who's going to get in queued next.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Because I started with 6, then I went down, and then I went from left to right, 4, 8. And then now I'm going down, and then from left to right, it's 2, 5. And what's next is probably going to be 7 and 9.
I hope so.
I hope so. Otherwise, we did this really wrong. And then if we go down another level, we have basically our last level, which is just 1 and 3.
Yep.
Okay, so in our queue, we have 4. We have the reference to 8. We have the reference to 2 and the reference to 5. So now that we are done adding all the references to 4's children, we can dequeue 4.
Mm-hmm.
So 4 is gone, done, don't need you anymore. So we then look at the next thing in our queue, which is the reference to 8. So now I can say, okay, 8, what are you? I'm going to read you. 8 says, hello, I am 8. And before we get rid of 8, we need to add the references to its children. So we're going to go to the left and say, do you have a left child? Yep, it's the reference to the number 7. Mm-hmm. And we're going to add that to the queue. And then now we're going to go to the right and say, do you have a right child? Yes, I do. It's a reference to the number 9. And so now we add that to the queue. So at this point, we still have our number 8, which we just read, but we have not gotten rid of. Mm-hmm. And then next, we have reference to 2, then a reference to 5, then a reference to 7, then a reference to 9, which is basically our entire third level of our tree.
Yeah, it's one whole generation of the tree, and you've got them in level order. And when you go to read them, mm-hmm. like if we were to continue this algorithm and you went to read them, you would be then looking at their children also in order and enqueuing mm-hmm. them. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing is once you dequeue a node, you don't need to worry about it because the only reason you kind of enqueued it is so that you could check its children. And once right. you've got children enqueued into the queue, you don't even need the parent node anymore. Mm-hmm. And that mm-hmm. solves the problem a little bit of what we were talking about last episode where there are no reverse links. And so you're like, okay, how do I go back to the parent? And here you're kind of flipping it on its head a little bit where you're saying, okay, I'm going to hold on to the parent until I have the information I need from it. And then I can, you know, move on and forget about the parent and move on to the next generation.
Yeah. And you basically keep going down this road, this process, until you've found the node that you're looking for.
Yeah. Or if, you know, you could also just run BFS if you just wanted to print out the tree in level order.
Ah, yeah. Okay. So when we were talking about depth first search, we analyzed the algorithm and we said, okay, what does this mean in terms of time, space, complexities? Now we're getting into big O notation stuff. When we look at breadth first search, what does it look like in terms of time? How do we measure that?
I guess the first thing we want to think about is how much time does it take to actually visit a node? Because that is the one thing that we are going to do for all the nodes, right? Because we're searching through everything. So like we need to know what does it mean to visit a node and how much time does that take? Mm-hmm. So whether we're looking at the root node or we're looking at the, you know, some child node, maybe the furthest all the way down, like the lowest level node, the thing that you're actually doing is you're reading the node's value and then you're enqueuing its children and you're always going to read its value and check whether it has a left and right and enqueue it. So the actual work of reading and checking a node when mm-hmm. you know kind of pop it off the queue and look at what it is and who its children are, that doesn't change as you go through the tree. It's the same amount of time no matter what node you're looking at. And so we could say that reading a node at a time is actually constant. It takes constant time or O of one time. But we're not just reading one node. We are reading the value of all the nodes because we're going to run BFS through this whole tree. Mm-hmm. So even though reading a single node takes constant time, we need to think about it in the context of what does it look like to read every single node? Because that's eventually what we will do.
Right.
And so the time complexity of running BFS, breadth first search, really depends on how many nodes you're reading. Because mm-hmm. it's the thing that's going to take time isn't the work of reading the node. It's how many times you're going to have to read different nodes.
Yeah.
Which means that the time complexity of BFS is linear. And you can imagine if we ran this algorithm and we were like, okay, let's look at a tree with 3 nodes. Versus let's look at a tree with 30 nodes or 300 nodes, it would take longer, even though the work of reading isn't that hard, it would take longer for more nodes. So that's why we say that where n is the number of nodes in the tree, the big O notation is O of n, where it's linear proportional to how many nodes we'll have in the tree.
Okay, makes sense. Yeah, and I remember, I think it was it last episode where we were talking about the idea of big O notation is about figuring out what is the worst case scenario. So if I'm looking, if I'm searching for a particular node, let's just say I'm looking for the value 4, that actually happens pretty fast. That's in the second thing I check will be the number 4. So that's pretty quick. But worst case scenario, I need to look at every single node. So if I have to look at every single node, how long would that take? And that's how we get to n.
Exactly. And you always want to be prepared for the worst case, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's like you want to know, like, do I have enough life jackets on this boat?
Yeah. Okay, so what about space? How do we think about space?
So the amount of space that you really have to think about with BFS completely goes back to that queue. because you'll remember we're leaning on this queue data structure for us to like keep reference to nodes, to know which order we're going to check them, to know how many are left to check. And so if you're imagining a tree with three nodes, then worst case scenario, you're going to have three nodes in queued at a time because you'll look at the root node and you'll be like, do you have a left? Do you have a right? And queue them. And now you've got every single node in the tree is in queued. But you could also have the situation where you have a large tree and you're looking at the number of nodes that are in queued at any given time. And depending on how wide the tree gets and how many nodes you have at a given level, you'll remember like when we were kind of talking through, I was like, oh, look, we have a little bit of one generation and then the whole next generation's in queued. So depending on how wide your tree is, the amount of space could be, it will be proportional to how wide your tree gets, basically the biggest or the widest generation. So if you've got a tree with, you know, a level that is 10 or 20 nodes wide, then you could have 10 to 20 nodes in queued at a time. And for every one node that you're reading, you're still adding two more. You're adding its left and right child. So you're going to be popping things off, but you're probably going to be adding more things before you can pop them off.
Right.
So queues can grow in size and they can, you know, get wider and skinnier. But the worst case scenario for BFS is that you'll have one generation, one level that is very, very big, probably the last one, and you will have the space complexity be completely proportional to the width of that tree. So that's how much extra space you need to keep track of those references to the nodes and the number of nodes you have in queued.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And when we talk about width, we're talking about like levels, right? So we talked about like one whole level would be added, one whole generation would be added to a queue. Like that's what we're talking about.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, okay. And so if you had like five nodes in a generation that were all, you know, descendants at the same level, you could have a worst case situation where you've got all five of them in queued at once. And sure, you'll dequeue them, but that'll take time and you're still adding two new things every single time as you're going through this tree until you get to the last level. Finally, when you get to the last level, that means you've hit all the leaf nodes and there are no children to enqueue, and finally, you'll just be popping things off. So you'll get a little bit of exactly. You'll get a little relief at that point, but you know, this queue will kind of start to swell as you add more and more children nodes, depending on how wide the tree is. And if you think about it, it's a really good way of thinking about DFS versus BFS, because you'll remember that with depth first search, it all had to do with how deep the tree was, the height of the tree, and that was your worst case scenario. Yeah. And so in the same way with BFS, breadth first search, your worst case scenario has to do with how wide the tree is. And it makes sense when you start to think about your two different strategies and how much space you could, you know, really have to account for depending on how big your tree is and or how wide it is.
Okay, so if I have a tree, how would I pick between DFS and BFS?
You would probably have to think a lot about what your tree looks like and what it is that you're trying to do. And to be honest, I think it probably has a lot to do with how much knowledge you have about the tree and what you're looking for. And we kind of, you know, use this metaphor early on in the season when we were talking about diving deep versus kind of like snorkeling. So like if you know exactly which section of the tree you're looking for something, you might want to just immediately go for depth first search. But if you're like, I'm not really sure, I maybe need to kind of look around a little bit, you might want to run a breadth first search, and then you'll realize, oh, I don't even need to look at this left section of the tree. I only need to look over here. And so honestly, I think it depends a lot on the problem you're trying to solve, how much information you have about the tree, and what the tree looks like. And I think a lot of the times you probably even want to do a combination of breadth first and depth first. You might want to combine strategies and do a little bit of breadth first and then figure out, oh, this is where I want to go deep.
Oh, man. I didn't think you could do that.
Yeah. I don't think there's an actual algorithm where it's both, but most algorithms will, you know, implement a little bit of, or I guess most people will use a little bit of one, get some more information, and maybe use a little bit of the other.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you know exactly what you're trying to do and you might just run a BFS automatically because you don't have enough information. And sometimes your approach is very targeted. And so you might know, oh, I definitely want to just run a depth first search.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as you know that the worst case scenario for space and time are related to the, you know, the strategy you use and what the tree looks like, at least you'll be more well equipped to make a more informed decision about whichever of these two strategies you decide to use.
And that is the end of today's show. So if you liked what you heard, please leave us a review and make sure to check out Vaidehi's blog post. Link to that is in your show notes. Also, make sure to take a listen to the Dev Discuss podcast that I helped make. It's the first original podcast from Dev, a global community of software developers of all backgrounds and experience levels. And the show covers burning topics that impact the daily lives of programmers and beyond. Hosted by Dev co-founders Ben Halpern and Jess Lee. Vaidehi, you want to say goodbye?
Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening. See you next season. Okay, what about space?
Oh, sorry, I was going to keep going. We can stop talking about lifeboats. anyways, keep going.